to Philippians this morning. So turn with me over to Philippians in chapter number 4. And what I want you to do as well, grab your songbook and the song that we just sang. Isn't that a beautiful song? Well, this really is. Because there's some stanzas in here I want to refer to. Philippians chapter number 4. We're going to start, we're at verse 4 now. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Follow along with me as we read it from verse 4 to verse 7. And you know, let's do it differently. We're going to read this out loud together. And those of you listening on the internet, you read it along with us, okay? Everybody at home there, you read this along with us. So let's begin. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says this: Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's unite our hearts in prayer this morning. Our gracious God and Father, as we have just read this passage here before us now, your counsel to us is just to really talk to you about anything and everything, and to let our requests be made known unto you. So our request, Father, for this next little while as we look into your word, is that we would have a greater appreciation of prayer and what that's all about. And your counsel here to us to find our joy in Christ and to let who you have made us to be in Him be the resource from which we live life, and to allow your peace, the peace that governs you, allow that to keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And we'll thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to read this out loud again. What you might recall that when we started the book of Philippians, there was a particular, I think three times now, three particular verses that we've memorized as a group. Y'all remember that? Who remembers what was the first one we memorized as a group? Who remembers what the first one? Which one was it? Philippians 1:6, and what does it say? Let's say it out loud, ready? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that day of Jesus Christ is, of course, the rapture that he's talking about, okay? Well, just like we've taken the time to memorize some verses already in this book here, so too what we're going to do as individuals and as a group now, you're going to memorize chapter 4, verse 4 to verse 7. I am commanding you to do that. Not, okay, I'm beseeching you. Okay, right? Remember, in the dispensation of grace, we don't command, we beseech. How many of you already have experienced, just practically in your life, what these verses are talking about? The peace of God, the Word of God working in your heart. How many of you have already enjoyed that? Okay, you have. Okay? I won't ask how many of you already have it memorized. Probably most of you all do. But if you don't, that's your assignment. Okay? It's to memorize these verses. To memorize these verses. Okay? And same with everyone listening on the internet right now. We have a really nice group on the internet there. Same thing. Commit these verses to memory. Commit them to memory. I promise you, you will use them. Right? I promise you, it will happen. Okay? And it'll probably happen more than once. It'll probably happen multiple times every day. All right? So let's read these verses out loud again together. We're going to start at verse 4. He says this: Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. What's the next phrase? The Lord is at hand. He's right there. Amen. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is God's wise counsel to us about prayer. In the epistles of the Apostle Paul, he says so many things about prayer, the nature of prayer, you know, how to pray, things like that. And it's like what he's doing in this passage right now. This passage is before us. It's like he's condensing it all together in one succinct place. And he's especially doing it here for the Philippians because they found themselves in great need of the peace of God that passes all understanding to keep their hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Who remembers? What were they experiencing?
Terrorism.
That's right, terrorism. They were experiencing persecution because of the Word of God. They were experiencing that affliction, that suffering, because they were standing in the message of God's wonderful grace. We saw that back in chapter number 1. Look back at chapter 2. Look back at chapter number 2, if you would. Look at chapter 2 of Philippians. Notice, we're going to kind of work backwards here, but look at verse 15 of chapter 2. He says, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Think about that. Sometimes people think the situation is bad right now in our lifetimes, and it's not good, okay? But you understand, the Philippians themselves found themselves in an exact and even worse situation even than us in our day, all right? They found themselves in the midst, not of a God-fearing, God-honoring, righteous nation. They found themselves in the midst of a what? What? Crooked and perverse nation. You understand what that means, right? They found themselves right in the middle of that. And so they were experiencing the emotional ups and downs associated with living in that kind of a situation. Can anybody relate? Yeah. Over the last year and a half, 2 years, whatever. All right. And so the Apostle Paul he writes this book here to instruct them, edify them, tell them how to get through all this. You're still in chapter number 2, are you? Look at verse 2:12. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." And then what does he tell them to do here? "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Let's take a moment to think about this. First of all, you see the word obeyed? In fact, he says always obeyed. See in verse 12, obeyed, always obeyed. When you think of the word obeyed, sad to say, in much of Christianity, what do they connect the word obeyed with? The law. But listen, Romans 6:14 says, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." Why not? You're not under the law, but under grace. So, how do you obey grace? How do you do that? What's that? Okay, one choice. So one is you got to know what it is first, and then you got to make a choice by faith to let the grace of God do its work in you. That's how you obey grace. Look, whole Philippians 2, go back to Romans 6 here. Look over to Romans 6, Romans chapter 6. Look at this passage here, Romans 6. Look at Romans 6, verse 17. Romans 6, verse 17. And it says this, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have..." Now there's a word again. See that? Obeyed. Obeyed where? From the heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. What is the form of doctrine that the Apostle Paul delivered to the Romans? The gospel of the grace of God, the dispensation of grace, what God is doing, the nature of grace, how grace works, what it does, what it accomplishes, and so forth. What is the fun, if you were to just whittle it all the way down to the most essential, fundamental nature of grace, what is it? What's the word? Are you in Romans there? Or what's the couple of words? Look over to Romans 3. Look over to Romans 3. Look over to Romans 3. Watch this. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Romans 3, verse 24. Watch this. And notice what it says. Being justified, what's the next word?
Freely.
And then it says, by His what?
Grace.
Through the redemption that is in who? Redemption is in a person. It's in Christ Jesus. It's not in religion. It's not in deeds. It's not in promising to do better next time. It's not in relying on self. Redemption is in a person, Jesus Christ. Salvation is in Christ. Life is in Christ. He, Christ, is our hope. When you think about grace, you want to always connect it with free, free, free. The Scripture talks about the attitude that people had towards the Lord Jesus Christ. It said that they hated Him. I'm going to go, when I go W-O, that just means without. Without, that's all that means. They hated Him without a cause. What's that mean, without a cause? There was no real reason. There was no basis to legitimately hate Him. It says they hated Christ without a cause. There was, their hatred had no legitimate thing it could lay claim on. When you think about justified freely, when you think about grace, you want to think without a cause. The grace of God, Titus 2 says, the grace of God that bringeth... In fact, look at that verse. Go to Titus 2 here. We will get back to Philippians, I promise, okay? Go to Titus chapter number 2. Think about it this way. Look at Titus 2 here. We just really want to emphasize this thing about how to obey grace. What does that mean? What does it look like? What's implied in all that? Look at Titus chapter number 2. And this thing about without a cause. Without a cause. Look at Titus 2 verse 11. And it says this. Titus 2:11 says this. For the grace of God. And he's talking about the dispensation of grace. He's talking about this time in human history where we live. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared just to the good people. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to those that promise to do better next time. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared those that promise to give the heart to Christ. What's that verse say? So is the grace of God connected with the worthiness of man?
No.
Shake your head, no. The grace of God is without a cause on the part of the worthiness of men. Do you see that? Do you understand that? Rest in that. Because as soon as we connect the concept of ourselves getting a right standing in the eyes of God based upon our worthiness, you just destroyed grace. See that? Look at how it says it in chapter 3 of Philippians. Verse 4. I'm sorry. Titus 3:4. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. It says this. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward the good people appeared. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward those who were promising to do better, to stop sinning, to obey. Is that what that verse? That isn't what it says. The kindness and love of God appeared to man because He brought in the dispensation of grace, which was the withholding of His wrath and the offering of amnesty and forgiveness and peace and righteousness as a free total gift, as a total free gift. That verse says, verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Now look at the next phrase, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. It was not the works of righteousness of mankind that compelled God to bring forth His kindness and love. It was not the works of righteousness of any human being that demanded that the grace of God showed up and for all men. Grace is freely. It's offered without a cause on the part of man. The cause is on the part of the nature of God Himself, the Godhead Himself. Everybody grasp that point. So when you turn back to Philippians chapter number 2 there, back to Philippians chapter number 2, and let me ask you this. Is grace really free?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Is it really without a cause?
Yes.
Is it really no strings attached?
Yes. No strings attached.
Okay. Now we all said yes, right? Okay. How about you on the internet? Do you guys all say yes? You better have. Okay. But what's the objection to that? What do people say about that?
Some people would say, well, that's life
is
a sin.
Yeah, exactly. That is the objection in various forms. They'll say, well, if you're saying it really and truly is free and then there's no strings attached and it's without a cause, then you're just saying it's okay to sin. Is anybody recording this message? I'm going to go back and listen. Did anywhere when I said any of that, did I say it's okay to sin?
No.
I didn't say that.
God forbid.
God forbid is exactly the answer. That's Romans 6. God forbid. So you understand, think about this. Listen, this will take you deep in your own conviction about something, what I'm going to tell you right now. If someone comes along and says, grace, salvation really is a free gift based upon the finished work of Christ at Calvary, and that grace appeared to all mankind without the cause on man's part, the cause being on God's part, it really is a free gift. If someone says, well, yeah, but aren't you saying they can go live in sin? What did that just tell you about that person's flesh, that person's thinking?
That they're good enough where you can't.
They're thinking that they can not sin. They're associating being right in the eyes of God with their ability to stop sinning. Their flesh is exposing what their heart believes. And that is, oh, if you're saying grace is really free, then you're just saying that you're just giving people a license to sin. But their objection is saying that therefore they think that they can be right in the eyes of God and they can stay right in the eyes of God by their ability to stop sinning. How's that working for you? The life of a believer is the life of Christ. It's not us trying to live up to something. It's us learning who God has already made us to be in Christ.
Amen.
And learning, just one step at a time. First to believe that, to trust that that is so. And then how to let it be so in our experience. Because it's true of our identity. We just want to let our identity now be reflected in our experience. Does anyone have a battle with this? Why? What? Why do we have a battle with this? We still got the flesh. We still have self. We still want to put ourselves and everybody else under that performance system before we will accept them. And even ourselves, by the way. Understand that? It's not just about we want to control everybody else. We think we can control ourselves. So it's a total illusion about control. Well, you realize we're all control freaks. All right. Go ahead.
In effect, you're telling Jesus, no, Jesus, I got this.
That's what you're saying.
I can do what you did.
That's exactly what you're saying. Not you, but I mean, that's what, yeah. When you're saying that grace means it's okay to go live in sin, what Garrett just pointed out, he said you're effectively telling Jesus, Jesus, it's okay, I got this. You understand now? At any rate, you know, I got to move on really quickly here. So go back to Philippians 2. By the way, the grace of God will set you free.
Amen.
It'll set you free from having to be a control freak. You're never going to be a successful control freak. Just get over it. You're not going to. It isn't going to happen. And the sooner we realize that, the sooner we can find our peace and rest and hope in who we are in Christ. And let that be reality, because it is reality. Look at this passage here. Philippians chapter 2, once again what he says here. Philippians 2, go back to verse 12. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out." Not work for, but work out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When we studied that verse, and by the way, every time you see the word salvation in the Bible, what's the question to ask? Salvation from what? So what is that? What's the salvation in that verse that Paul is telling them to work out? Not their salvation from hell. Their salvation from what? The emotional ups and downs of the afflictions and challenges of this life. Call it Christian Disneyland. Come on, I thought that would stir some of you up more. For some of you, I just spoke blasphemy, didn't I? Yeah. At any rate, I mean, think about that. Think about it. You go and you pay big bucks to get on these rides that take you up and down and up and down, and then you vomit at the end. That was a blast. Let's do it again, kind of. I know that's not you guys, but think about the concept of how people just live under performance. I'm talking in Christianity. Live under performance. And they go to churches. And the churches keep telling them they ought to do better. They should do better. They need to do this. They need that. And in your heart you're saying, I know I should do better. I know I ought to do better. But I don't. Don't keep telling me I ought to. Tell me how. And the how is grace. The how is who we are in Christ. And Paul says to the Philippians there, work out your own salvation. God gave you His salvation as a totally free gift. And now learn about it. Learn how to allow Scripture to save you from the turmoil, the ups and downs, the struggles of life. And I submit to you that when you... By the way, don't stop there. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The fear and trembling is still going to be there. You know why? Because you still got the flesh. That's why. For verse 13, for it is God which worketh where? Is God working in the world today?
No.
Okay, let me. Okay, so is God working in the world today? And when I say the world, I don't mean like in your refrigerator or like your car. Is God working in the world today? Please say yes.
Yes.
Where in the world is God working?
In the believer.
In the believer. Where in the believer? In the inner man of the believer. That's what somebody said. It's through His Word. And this is Word divided. Exactly right. Those are some important keys. In the English language, it's a King James Bible. Some people just kind of discount that. Say, oh, John doesn't know what he's talking about. You're right, I don't, but the Word of God does. Get a King James Bible, get a New International Version, get American Standard, just get all the translations you want and lay them side by side by side and start reading them. And you're going to find that they don't say the same thing. And you're going to have to deal with the question, well, what difference does it make? Here's the difference it makes. Let me use the illustration. Let's say you're renting where you live, or let's say that you're buying your home where you live. So it comes time to pay the mortgage, or it comes time to pay the rent. And let's say your mortgage is, or your rent is $2,000, whatever. Okay? And so you send the payment in, and it only says $1,250. And your mortgage company is going to reach out and say, hey, you're short. You say, oh, what difference does it make? $1,250. It's just numbers. You go to your landlord, and you send $1,250 to the landlord. And the landlord calls you up and says, hey, you know, you're kind of short here. The contract says $2,000. Say, it doesn't really matter. It's just numbers. You know, if I send you $1,250, $2,000, it doesn't really matter, does it? It does matter. Yes or no? Does it matter?
Yes.
Listen, so why would it be less with the Word of God? Why are professing Christians okay with all these translations that don't say the same thing? They don't. Now, I didn't mean to get off on all that, but maybe I did. At any rate. So look at this now. Look at your verse 13, 2:13, it says, for it's God which worketh in you. Is God working?
Yeah.
Where is He working?
In you.
Both to will and to do His good pleasure. Look with me to 1 Thessalonians 2. Look over to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2. Look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And notice what it says here. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God... By the way, see that phrase? Received the Word of God. There's one of two things you do with the Word of God.
You receive it or
reject it.
Yeah.
That verse says, when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You got to open the ears of your heart to hear what God says. It says, when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God. Now watch the next statement here. Which effectually worketh also where?
In you.
When?
Believe.
See that? Does the Word of God work?
Yes.
Where does the Word of God work?
In you.
When does the Word of God work? It works when we believe it. Now, I say all that to say this. I think, anyway. Go back to Philippians chapter number 4. What's the passage we're working on? Philippians 4 what? Remember Philippians 4 what? Philippians 4, 4 down to verse 7. We're going to read it out loud again, and we're going to memorize this verse. Philippians 4, 4, he says, rejoice. Let's read it out loud. Ready? Here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. We saw there in Philippians chapter number 2 that Paul told the Philippians that, he says, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, he says, work out your own salvation. Will these verses do that? Are these key verses that enable us, equip us from the inner man to work out our salvation from whatever the situation is we need to be saved from? The ups and downs, the emotions. Do you think key passages like this will help? The answer is absolutely correct. It's like he takes all the things in the book of Philippians and he condenses the whole into these verses right here. You see that? And how does this section begin? How does it begin? Verse 4, what's it say? How does it start? What? How does it start?
Rejoice.
No. Verse 4. What? How does it start?
Rejoice.
First
part.
Rejoice where?
In the Lord.
Okay, what does the first part say?
Rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord how often?
Always.
And then what does it say?
Amen.
Guess what? You just memorized verse 4. You got verse 4 down. Give yourself a high five to the person sitting next to you. Come on now. You got it. Hey, wait. What does Philippians 4:4 say? How does it start? First word. That's the trigger word. You know, people are talking about getting triggered. Yeah, how about rejoice? How about rejoice in the Lord? You wear that sign, I'm triggered. And you turn on the back, it says rejoice in the Lord. You just got triggered, man. Okay? What's the trigger word to get the soul? What's Philippians 4:4 say? Everybody out loud, what's it say?
Rejoice
in the Lord. How often?
Always.
And again, do what? You just memorized verse 4. You probably already had it memorized anyway. Okay, so I just memorized it. How's that? Okay. Rejoice in the Lord. How long? How often?
Always.
And what? And again, I say rejoice. Does anybody remember? And I know the answer is yes. So say yes, please. Okay. What was the major theme all the way through chapter 3? In fact, how did it start? Look at this. Chapter 3. Finally! But don't you love it when the preacher says that? He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is what? Listen, there's spiritual safety in being reminded about sound doctrine. There's spiritual safety in allowing the Word of God to renew our minds with who we are in Christ. There's spiritual strength and stability. It's like a bulwark. It's like protection. It's like the peace of God that keeps your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus by allowing the Word of God to remind us who we are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that something? So when he says in chapter 4, verse 4... Oh, by the way, what does chapter 4, verse 4 say? What's the first word?
Rejoice
where? How often? And again, do what? What he's saying in chapter 4, verse 4, he's clearly tying it all together back to chapter 3, the entire chapter 3. Christ is our life. He's our hope. He's our righteousness. He's our peace. He is our all in all. Therefore, he goes on to say in chapter 3, we want to win Christ. We want to be found in Him. We want to press towards the mark. We want to let His righteousness be manifest in us. We want the very resurrection life of Christ to be that life that is in us from which we live. All of that is encompassed in finding my brethren rejoice in the Lord. What does Philippians 4:4 say? Rejoice in the Lord. You got it memorized already. But you see how he's tying it back to chapter number 3? Now let me ask it this way. When he says, rejoice in the Lord, my question is, why? Why?
Help me out.
What?
Because you're already completed.
Okay, excellent. So let's do it this way. When he says, rejoice... By the way, rejoice, what two words are there?
Joy again.
Find joy again. And he says, rejoice in the Lord, okay? And he says, always, okay? So, give me some reasons why. Okay, so one, you said because we're what? We're already complete in Him, right? We're already complete in Him. This is going to take too long if I try to write all this down, right? Someone said we're justified, right? Give me another one. Okay, we have eternal life as a... I'll just go E-L. We have it as a present possession. Eternal possession. Eternal life, that phrase is... That's the kind of life God has, right? He doesn't have Adam's life. He has His kind of life. And when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, the life He gives you is His life. How long is it going to last?
Forever.
Only as long as God lasts.
The everlasting God.
That's exactly right. So why rejoice in the Lord? Well, we're already complete in Him. We're already justified. We already have eternal life. What's that? Okay,
We're already saints, right? We're already saints.
What does saint mean, by the way? Set apart for a purpose. Yes. You're already a saint of the Most High God. You already are.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's. Does anybody know a saint?
Okay.
I'm married to one. Whoa! We got good stories, you know? Look at it. You're a saint of the Most. That's who you are. By the way, not because you did works. And not because you've been dead 500 years and a religious organization declared you to be a saint. God's Word, His living Word, declared you a living human being because you have the life of Christ. He declared you. He said, you're a saint. Isn't that amazing?
Amen, preacher.
On the way home in your car today, I want you to just say, hey, man, St. John, St. Michael, St. Brandy, St. Raymond. Whoever you're riding home with, even if it's just yourself, talk to the saint sitting next to you. Talk to the saint living in your skin. It will change your perspective. I'm telling you, it will. Why else should we rejoice in the Lord? And I won't have time to write all this down, but tell me some other reasons. Why rejoice? What's that? Yes, the Lord's at hand. We're going to get to there. Maybe. Okay, to there. Maybe. Okay, but that's a fantastic one. We'll talk about that in a second. We're heirs of the Most High God. What else? You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
The reason why God is pleased with you is because of Christ and has nothing to do with you. Therefore, you can't be wrong with God.
You have to rejoice. It doesn't say in self. Rejoice in the Lord.
Access.
That's key. We've got to find our joy in Him. Have you ever been disappointed with somebody?
Yes.
Have you ever been disappointed with yourself? That's the big one, right? You will never be disappointed by or with the Lord. He will never let you down. He keeps His promises. Remember the song we sang? I think I asked you to get that book there, right? Oh, it says, the song you sang, oh soul, are you weary and troubled? What do you think? Yes, no. You ever get that way? No light in the darkness, you see. There's light for a look at who?
The Savior.
The Savior. And life more abundant and free. And then the third verse says, His Word shall not fail you. He promised. He promised. Why would God... This isn't the right way to say it. But why would God feel obligated not just to make promises, but to record them? He's God. Why would he tell us His promises? Because He's holy. Good. What else? For us. Because He knows that our hearts and our minds need protecting, need garrison, needs guarding. Our hearts and our minds up and down with the ups and downs of life. And He's like, He's saying, I promise. You can trust Me. When the Apostle Paul says, what does Philippians 4:4 say? What first word? What's it say?
Rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
And again I say, what?
Rejoice.
You got verse 4 down, don't you? So why do we rejoice in the Lord? First of all, because who the Lord is, His Word shall not fail you. He promised. And because who He made you to be in Christ. That's key. In order for you to rejoice in the Lord, you got to spend time in the Word finding out, well, who the Lord is. Why should I rejoice in Him? But you got to find out who He says you are in Him. You wonder why many, many professing believers struggle with assurance, struggle with peace, rest is because they don't know who they are in Christ.
Amen.
They've been put under the law. They've been taught that they're Israel, or they're spiritual Israelites, or spiritual Jews, and they're under the Ten Commandments, and they're under the Beatitudes, or they're under the parables, or things like that. None of which is you. You'll never be able to rejoice in the Lord if you don't know who He is and who He made you to be in Him. The more we see who He is and appreciate who He is and what He's done for us in Christ by grace, the more we will turn our eyes upon Him and off of ourselves. Now, I'm out of time, but I want to do something here real quick, and then we're just getting started with these verses. So come back next week, yes? Please come back next week. There's more to go. But watch this. What's the first word of verse 5?
Let.
And then it goes on to say, let your what?
Mother.
What are the first three words in verse 5?
Let.
You got the first three words of verse 5 memorized. See how easy that is? The word let, what is implied in the word let?
Wow.
Allow choice, free will. See that? Watch this. He says, let your moderation. What's moderation?
Calmness.
That's like your calmness. Just an even keel. Right? Just a calm. A calmness. Imagine yourself and you're out on an ocean that's just raging all around. And in most situations, boy, the ship is just being tossed to and fro. Think about the disciples on the Sea of Galilee when the storm arose and they were everything but calm. Lord, save us, we perish. They were terrified. They were at their wits' end, as it says. But the Word of God comes along, and in the soul of the believer, it keeps the keel even. Even though the waves are crashing around. It's the Word of God that does that in the inner man. Look at what it says here. What's the first word of verse 5? What's the first three words of verse 5? Let your moderation be known to who? To all men. So you got that memorized. What's the next statement?
The Lord is at
hand. Where is the Lord?
At hand.
Where is He? Who is at hand?
The Lord.
Now there's a lot of debate on does that mean the Lord like is right here, or does that mean what the Lord is, the rapture is imminent? How about, yes, both are true. We're going to do a real quick experiment, then we're going to wrap it up for today. Come back next week, unless the rapture happens, okay, right? I want you to close your Bible. This is one of the rare times ever in this church I will ever tell you to close your Bible. Right? I want you to close your Bible. We want to think about that phrase, the Lord is at hand. You listening on the internet, I want you to do the same thing. Close your Bible. But keep it right by you. Nowadays, you have to say, close your phone, don't you? For those who have their Bibles on their phone or the iPad, you know, close your phone. What? Hello, Fraser. The Lord is at hand. Now we're going to do a little object lesson. I want you to think about one of your favorite verses in the Bible. One that you know where it is. You got a verse in mind? Maybe it's this passage here. Just a verse where you know it's in the Bible. One of your favorite verses that will help you as you're working out your own salvation. Does everybody have a verse in mind?
Yes.
Everybody got one?
Yes.
Yes, no?
Yes.
Okay, on the count of three, I want you to find it. Ready? You know what I mean? You can open your Bible and find it. On the count of three, I want you to find it. Ready? Drum roll. All right. Okay, ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. And raise your hand when you found one of your favorite verses. Okay, Valentina got it. Okay, you got Alfonso, Ken. Raise your hand. Keep it up when you found it. Keep it up when you found it. Keep it up when you found it. Keep it up. What about the rest of y'all? Come on now. Okay. All right. You know what? When that verse says, the Lord is at hand, how close was that verse The verse is right there. You understand the point? When that verse says the Lord is at hand, practically, I mean, He is spiritual. He indwells us. But what's at hand?
The Word.
The Word. The Bible. Scripture. When it says the Lord is at hand, go get your Bible and open it up and look for your favorite verse. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm talking to myself. You understand what we do in the flesh. We're going through some difficulty, some challenge and so forth, and our Bible's sitting over there and it's got dust on everything. Oh God, help me know what to do. Oh Lord, you got to do this. Oh God, you got to go. And the Lord's saying, go get the Bible. The Lord is at hand. I'm right there. Whatever the up and down is, you know what? What?
Rejoice
in the Lord. Start there. Let that be your starting place. You might have to figure out two or three other things to do in relationship to the particular situation you're in, but you know what? That's a pretty good starting place. Rejoice in the Lord. Whatever. Because the verse is going to go on and say, in everything. So whatever the situation is, start there. Find our joy. Find our purpose for living. The meaning of life. The reason why we're here. Find it in who He is and who He has made us to be in Him. Because He's right there with you every moment of every second of every day of your life. And He will be there every moment of every second of every day of your eternal life. He's not going away.
Amen.
He's with us right here, right now. The Lord is at hand. Get into the Word. And what do we do? Rejoice in the Lord. How often?
Always.
And?
Again,
I say rejoice. Let your what? Let your moderation be known to who? Why? Because the Lord is at hand. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You for the time to look into Your Word. We thank You that You're at hand. You're right here with us, always. And You are coming at any moment. Both are true. And You tell us just to find our joy, our peace in Christ by finding all Your promises and resting in Your promises in Your written Word. We thank You for all this in Christ's name. Amen.